Without further ado, joining us on the phone right now is Rhea Hughes from 94 WIP. Rhea, how's it going?
Hey, Rhea.
Hey, Roy. Hey, Chris. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good. Excellent. Actually, thanks for joining us. This is our, I don't know if you know, this is our 100th episode, by the way.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
So thank you. And, you know, so we have special guests for our special 100th episode, so that's why we asked you to come on the show today.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very cool. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's kind of get right into it. Speaking of big numbers, speaking of 100, let's talk about another big number, as in 120. That's the $120 million, the big offer that the Phillies have presented to the Hamels. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but if that's the big offer that they're just preparing now, it seems like a year or so too late. Are we wrong on this or what?
If that's your starting number now, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. I know, you know, somebody said to me, they tweeted to me, they go, Heyman said it was at least $120 million. And I go, you know what, you're right. He did say at least $120 million. But to me, I mean, I all think we know what the starting point is. And at least $120 million isn't. And I know there's some notion out there that this will satisfy Phillies fans that they say, hey, at least they've tried. I don't think that way. I mean, I think, well, that's kind of, you know, and it's crazy to say lowball, but
right.
That's just, it's a ridiculous starting point. That's where you're starting now.
No, you're absolutely right. You want to follow up on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Rhea, I guess, so you agree that signing Cole Hamels now, not this drawn-out story about, hey, let's trade him for some prospects and try to re-sign him in the offseason. Like the best mode is to sign him right now, correct?
I do get where people say, you know, it makes more sense to trade him now because of what you can get. Although, I'm not sure what you can get for him because, frankly, he's a rental. You know, so, you know, if you're telling me you're going to trade him to Texas and you're getting that third base prospect, although, you know, weren't we doing this a couple years ago when we didn't get Roy Halladay because we wouldn't give up Dominic Brown? I think we've already lived through this, you know, prospect thing. To me, I think it would send a horrible message. To me, I'm a Phillies fan. I grew up a Phillies fan. You guys grew up Phillies fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would send a horrible message if they let that guy go. I would be incredibly disappointed. And I understand. There's so many holes to fill on this team.
Yes.
That to me, trading Cole Hamels is not going to fill all those to offset how we're all going to feel about losing him.
Oh, really? I agree. No, like, I don't know, like you can't, like, I don't, like this is the one strength that this team has. I mean, one of the few, actually. But I guess, in terms of trades, like names like Victorino and even Jimmy Rollins' name has popped up in trade rumors. I guess, is it like a question of like what you're gonna get for these guys, or just getting them off your salary? Because I mean, like, I mean, we expect the Phillies, like, I don't know. We think that the Phillies are this cash cow, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't, like, you can't have a $270 million payroll. They're going to have to, like, try to find, like, teams to trade for Rollins.
That, Chris, but let me offer this to you. In 2015, and 2015, I believe, is when the Comcast contract is up, when they had, and I guarantee you they're probably negotiating now.
Right.
So here's where the Phillies are dealing with. I'm sure ratings are dropping because they're just, you know, I mean, we've all been there. It's like, okay, we get to the seventh inning, it's tied. We all want to kill ourselves because we know what's happening here. It's this bullpen. We got to watch it. So I'm sure they're losing ratings. So what they have to balance with is if we're negotiating with Comcast for this massive bump, which mm-hmm. they should get, you know, they do have to keep a winning product on the field so they can also show ratings. Say, we're not going to go back to being the old Phillies. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, an insane payroll, of course. And those other guys are all pawns in it. Jimmy Rollins, Jimmy has been my favorite player the entire time he's been here. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he frustrates me like everybody else. But if you can get that salary off your books, trade Victorino, trade Hunter Pence, I'm fine with doing all that because you know something? They're not franchise players at this point in their
right.
careers. They're just not.
Right.
To me, I don't get rid of Cole only because I don't believe you're going to get back for him. If I thought they were going to get back huge prospects and they'd have a great chance to re-sign him,
mm-hmm.
I just don't let that guy go on the open market. It's just, that's my opinion on it.
Right. Rhea, let's switch gears for a little bit. Let's talk about really quick about the Penn State situation. Nearly everyone has chimed in about the situation. Your colleague, Angelo Cataldi, in the Metro today, has called for the death penalty for Penn State. What do you think the punishment should be for Penn State in this case?
I've gone back and forth with that because it is tough. Like, you know, I've talked – my sister played college ball at St. Joe's, and we've had this argument. She goes, why are you going to penalize the players? And that's always a player's mentality, and I get that.
Right.
You know, and – but I'm also going, if you're going to give – if you're not going to give the death penalty for this, what are you giving it for? Paying players – you know, I mean, you're going to – a coach is going to get fired and Terrell Pryor is going to lose his college career because he traded jerseys or rings for tattoos. I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? I mean, that to me, when I balance it, I go – and what I was pleased with to hear today was the NCAA president say nothing's off the table because, frankly, I don't expect a lot from them. It's the NCAA, so
right,
I usually expect that if it's – if it's the wrong decision, they're going to make it. But, you know, he said, a lot of people say it's not a football scandal. Well, I mean, truly when it comes down to it, it is a football scandal because this wouldn't have been allowed to go on if it had not been for the influence of football and the coach and the, you know, and the culture there. So, I mean, you know, if you really want to pare it down, yeah, is it a criminal scandal? Sure, but it was allowed to go on because of it. So, I have to give credit to Al, my other coworker, Al Morgani, said he's the one who said that. If you're not going to give the death penalties for this,
right,
the next school that ever gets it, they go, oh, I'm sorry, should we have abused little kids?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but this is all we did. I mean, when you pare it down to that very simple fact, then I think they have to.
Right.
Yeah, Rhea, another, I guess, aspect of this whole Sandusky thing that just appalls me at this point is the actions of the Paterno family. I know they're trying to, I guess, like, I don't know, like, keep their father or their relative's name in goodwill, but trying to, like, I don't know, come up with their own free report and saying, like, I don't know, like, don't you think they're coming out of this looking very bad? Like, they're only concerned about Joe Pa's legacy instead of, like, I don't know, punishment for the real, like, criminals here?
Chris, is there any chance their investigation finds any blame on Joe Pa? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, I don't think any of us think that. Here's what I will say in defense of them. It's their father. I get that. I really stayed away from really killing them because, you know, this is someone they lived with their whole life who not just wasn't their father, was an icon. I mean, I can't imagine the world that they're living in right now. Because I mean, except for the ones who coached there, who's at Jay.
Right.
It's not Scott, right? Jay was on his coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have a feeling a lot of people up there knew. It just seems to me this was an unspoken thing. Maybe there are some people in that family as white, you know, had no clue what was going on. I do feel for them because they've gone from a world where a year ago their father was this amazing thing to where now he's vilified. So I kind of just stay away. You know, it's too close. You know, be asking me to rip my father, you know, your mother. It's so hard. But I do think the aspect of it is they're trying to protect themselves from the inevitable lawsuits which are coming. There's no question about that. That all that money they got in the settlement package that he got, you know, people are going to come after. So I do think there's an aspect of that. But when it comes to somebody trying to clear their father's name, I kind of feel for those people a little bit just because they must have their heads must be spinning because it's their father. And so I always try not to kill people on how they feel about immediate family. Although they must be disappointed when they've read it, they can't.
Right.
You know, there's too much in there that they can't say that their dad didn't know. But so I kind of feel bad for them a little bit.
Right. We're live with Rhea Hughes from Philadelphia's 94 WIP. Rhea, we'll break it down player by player in a second. But in general, do you have any idea what the Sixers are doing this offseason?
You know, it's so funny. You know, you sent me an email this morning. Like, here's what we're going to talk about in the Sixers. And I'm going, what's the word that I need to come up with? What's like a really fun, cool, I mean, I'm so underwhelmed. I mean, I don't know really how else to look at it. It's it's the most because based off what they did, and I think we all know, look, they got past Chicago, you know, because Derek, although I did, you know, and I talked to you about this, Roy. Yeah. You and I both thought they could beat Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that, you know, once Derrick Rose went down, you know, that was it, and Noah. So it was pretty clear that they were going to get past them. But I think we all kind of felt good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, and we had Rod Thornton on this morning, and I asked him, I said, are you telling me the starting front court is Spencer Halls and Kwame Brown?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, he's really good defensively. You know, I can live with Kwame Brown, and his whole thing was Kwame, you know, lives with being the number one pick. And, yeah, I'm sorry that he does live with that. I'm sure
right.
He got millions and millions of dollars. But I'm more upset at them trying to sell me Spencer Halls as a power forward. I mean, who's he guarding?
No one.
No one. I mean, that's the Kwame Brown thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I don't like it. But this notion that Spencer Halls can be a power forward, has he played 1 minute of power forward for the Sixers?
I don't think he's played power forward in his career. I want to go back and look, but ever since he's been at Washington and ever since he's been with the Kings, he's always been like a finesse center. Like, now you're making him a finesse power forward.
You're making it sound so nice. He's a finesse center. you're putting this guy at power forward. Power is really not a word I think he's familiar with. I mean, it's just not his game. I mean, I'm not going to kill the guy that it's just not. He's not strong enough to play that position. He's not aggressive enough to play that position.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, this all points to me that they realize what they're heading in, that, okay, look, we have to fix this, and maybe next summer with all the free agents. But, I mean, trying to sell us any of this that it's workable is, you know, is ridiculous. I just, you can't sell me Spencer Halls as a power forward ever.
Yeah, no, Rhea, like it's the thing that me and Roy talk about all the time. Like they're not, like, they're half assing their plan. Like, I don't know, like, either.
Yeah, that's the word I was trying to think of, Chris.
No, it's either you either got to tank and be young and cheap,
yes,
or go for it, trade for Dwight. Like that's what I always want to dare. Like, if you trade for Dwight Howard, dare him not to take $25 million in the offseason. Dare him. Like, I don't know. Like, this is why, like, you need to, go all in. Like, I don't know. And if you're going to trade everyone for young talent and draft picks. But don't
That's the key right there. Well, you said it earlier. If you're going to go young and cheap, I would be fine with that.
Yeah,
like, figure out who of these young guys can play. But I think we're all aware, Doug's not a guy to develop a young talent.
Oh,
if
no.
You need any evidence, he had Kwame Brown when he came in and couldn't develop him, okay?
Exactly.
You know, now it's like, oh, he's coming back because he knows him. I don't think any of us know at this point what Evan Turner can do. And I blame that on Doug. I mean, look, is Evan, from everything you've read about when he was at Ohio State, a tough kid to coach? Absolutely. But that's why you get paid millions of dollars in the NBA to coach. You got to figure, that kid can play. I believe he can play. He's got to bring it out in him. But I don't think Doug likes – he gets too frustrated with guys. We see it time and time again, yanks him in and out of the lineup. He's not a coach for a young team where you go, we're going to ride it out with a young team. We're going to figure out who can play. You know what he's going to do. He's going to get annoyed with Lavoie.
Exactly.
He's going to get annoyed, you know, and Kwame's going to be our starting center, and these guys aren't going to develop. I mean, look – Nick Vucevic, however the heck you pronounce it, at this point I still don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's probably because he doesn't play and I don't hear it enough. We're never going to know if that guy can play, and maybe
nope.
He can't. But, you know, Doug does not develop young guys. It's not part of his, you know, his DNA maybe. And so I have no faith in that. But I would feel better if they said, look, here's what we're doing, Ruben. All these guys, we're going to get young, and we're going to see who can play, and then next year we're going
yes.
after everybody because we got the money. I'd be fine with that. But these guys they're bringing in, they're going to take time away from young guys
yes.
who we don't know if they'll be able to play.
Yeah. You're like, at least someone respectable in the media has actually said this.
Oh,
no,
I'm so not respectable, Chris.
No, it's just, no.
You must not read the message boards like I do. No,
no, but it also feeds into what I keep saying, but like, is Doug Collins, like, what has Doug Collins deserved to own, to get all this power that he's getting from ownership.
I have no clue. I really think, Chris, that they're, these guys, Adam Aaron and Josh Harris, are enamored of him. And look, he's got a wonderful pedigree. I mean, you know, and I'm sure when you I like Doug. I like listening to him. I love his passion. I love a lot of things about him. But there's also a lot of things about his coaching I don't like. But I think they're enamored of all those other things. And, you know, now you've got Rod Thorne as a lame duck, and Doug's got all the power. But Doug's got no track record as a GM. And I think these moves clearly show that Doug's making some of them.
Yeah, because, like, it feeds into Roy's favorite person, Andy Reid. Like, I don't know, having the groceries and buying them, too. Like, I don't know. You don't.
It was okay when Bill Parcells did it since he won, you know, a championship. But it's not okay when those guys say it. I kind of take issue with it.
Exactly. One last Sixers point I want to ask you about. Where does Thaddeus Young fit in all this? I mean, you're paying him
$8 million. Why did you pay that guy? You're so right. Why did you pay that guy all that money? And he's like that's my whole issue with Doug. He's what did they pay him? 80 million or how much? 65 million?
It was five and 43.
5 and 43. Okay, so it's not as nuts as I thought. 43, but still, you paid him a lot of money to keep him on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like hit or miss. Oh, maybe Thad got it tonight. Maybe he's not. I mean, there's no plan for him. I've never really envisioned that they have a plan for him. I think he's a talented player, you know, but I don't know if he's a starter. I don't think so. Not a bad guy off the bench, but it's never really appeared to me they know what to do with him.
No, you're absolutely right. It just kind of, you had to have Kwame Brown and re-sign Spencer Hall so much that you're willing to, you know, to put Thaddeus Young, who's probably a better option of power forward than Spencer Hall's, who's making more than anybody else in your front court, and you just have him coming off the bench. I just don't understand.
That's what's so sad, what you just said, that Thaddeus is a better option of power forward, because Thaddeus is not a power forward. I mean, he's just not strong enough, you know. Yeah. But you're right. I don't disagree with you. But you know, that's what's so nuts about these my head's spinning about these off-season moves.
just one last basketball question. Last time we spoke, we were talking about Billy King, and we thought that he could actually pull off that Dwight Howard deal. But now that they re-signed Brook Lopez to a max deal, and now that they signed Chris Humphries to $12 million a year, I think this is the Billy King that we kind of grew up with here in Philadelphia. I think the old Billy King's back.
Here's what I will say for that is that I think that you know, they didn't have enough to offer Orlando.
Right.
Orlando can get a better deal from Houston. And look, Orlando at this point was so sick of Dwight, they weren't going to give him what he wants, honestly.
Right.
I mean, I think they – and I don't blame them. I mean,
no.
I love his game, but he's a guy who quit on his team, in my opinion, last year. You can quit on your coach all you want. Players have been doing that since the beginning of time. Magic Johnson got, you know, coaches fired. That doesn't faze me when you quit on the coach. But when you quit on your team, and I feel like he did that, I know he was injured, but I didn't like how he handled a lot of stuff. But I really think it was Orlando saying, we're just not going to send you to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it was more that I think Billy offered them everything he could. But, I you know, look, Billy, big deals that drove us crazy here. But I think this was more about the Magic, not one, and frankly, the deal that they can offer is not as good as the deal that I believe that I read that Houston can offer. Houston can offer them more than Orlando came. But I really think when it came down to it, I just think Houston was saying, you know what, screw you, Dwight. You've done nothing but bitch and complain for years, and we're not going to give in to you. And they didn't have to. I mean, you know, he's the one who signed, you know, for that extra year. They didn't have to give in to him. So if I was them, I'd do the same thing. If they can get a better deal from someone else. Here's the thing is, you see teams every day take care of guys that they like and respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is where, you know, Roy Halladay, Toronto, you know, this guy's been a good soldier, blah, blah, blah. We're going to take care of him. Well, frankly, Dwight didn't earn that in Orlando, so why give it to him?
Right.
Yeah, no, but a tip to Billy King's cap, first time I've ever said that, is he's, like, the plan that they have, they're not half-assing their plan. They're throwing a kabillion dollars of players. They're like, we're going to overpay for players. We're going to try to, like, I don't know, like, even though it might be false, we're going to try to win a championship. But, like, at least I give him credit for, like, going all out for, like, this one plan. It might blow up in his face. No, it will blow up in his face. But at least they have a plan, unlike the Sixers.
And I agree with you on that. Where I get upset with the Sixers is, You know, we're not dealing with Comcast run them anymore. It's the ugly stepchild. I don't like to say redheaded since I have a redhead son, so I've tried to remove that from my lexicon. But you know, it's you know, they're not the these guys got boatloads of money. So you know, that's kind of. But I also do get that next year is the better thing. But this plan they're putting together here makes no sense, because if you're going to do all that, just play a bunch of young guys and figure out who can play. Occasionally, you're going to find a diamond. But yep. this retread stuff, and, well, thank God we got Royal Ivy. I feel much better about that.
you're absolutely right. Rhea, before we let you go, some of the fans out there may not be familiar with your work with WIP yep. and CSN Philly. So if you could, just tell everybody know where they can check you out.
Sure. You can listen to us every morning on 94 WIP, 5:30 to 10 a.m., and you can listen online as well, cbsphilly.com. It'll take you right to it. And then every day around 12:30, we post Rory's Been a Show. Chris, you have to be a guest in our show sometime. We're on csnphilly.com. I do lunch break at post around 12:30.
I will watch lunch break every day for the next 3 months because it's Eagles time.
We are. You know, it's so funny. When I went over to Comcast today, one of my favorite people, and I don't normally see him this early. I walk in. And there's Gunner, Derek Gunn's in the newsroom, and I go, oh, must be close to NFL time. You're in work this early. He's like, yeah, I got to go to Lehigh. I said, you love it. Who are you kidding? So, yeah, so it's definitely almost football time, which is a good thing.
Excellent. Rhea Hughes, 94 WISP, excuse me, 94 WIP, and CBS, I can't even get it right, CBS Philly, 94 WIP, and CSN Philly. Rhea Hughes, thank you for joining us.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Take care.